Hello.
Hello, my friend. Welcome back.
Shit.
Is that any better?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. It made a bleeping noise, and then all of a sudden you were like regular sound.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad. So, did we pick you at a good time, or did we find you in between the sessions of crying, Chris?
I will fucking Nazem Kadri you. Hey Dalton, what's up, buddy?
Hey, that was a fun little statement to come into.
Right?
Yeah,
He deserves it.
I do. I do, for sure, for sure. Well, everyone, welcome to episode 25 of South Little Blue Line. We haven't recorded for a week, and since our last recording, I feel like it's been like a lot much longer time because like before we our last recording was right before the last games of the season of the regular season, and now we're like three games deep of the playoffs, and I feel like it's been like a month since we've recorded.
Yeah, plus my bracket's already broken.
I will say the playoffs have been interesting, but we'll get there because Chris, I don't think, do you have much to say about the 4-2 Jets win over the Coyotes?
No, not really.
Nothing. I liked your article. You said friggin' a lot in it, though. That's for sure.
I did like your article quite a lot, pal. Chris, you are the leading writer right now with three articles.
Even when I was saying like, maybe I'll write something, I don't know.
Yeah, Chris needed the outlet to, vent his feelings.
Yeah, this might be a mistake, just so you know.
Don't worry, I'm working on one right now.
Nice. You guys should thank the Winnipeg Jets, by the way.
Oh yeah, why is that?
Because they're making you feel welcome by losing two games in a row as soon as you join the bandwagon.
Yeah, do you
They
think
know
it's
you're.
me? Do you think it's me, maybe?
Oh, it's both of you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, man. Tampa Bay was good as soon as I started cheering for them. So I'm kind of feeling like it's Michael.
They have lost two games in the playoffs, so maybe it's Dalton.
God damn it. Is it me?
Maybe.
That's it. I'm quitting watching hockey.
Well, so Chris here, I will give you something to smile about, though. Congratulations, Chris. You won the prediction challenge.
It was all
Was there
rigged.
any was there any doubt at all?
Yeah, you won the final score of you had seven, Dalton, you had six, and I came down with five. I gave a little bit of a pushback, but I, you know, a little bit. I like the Oilers a little bit too late. I was not able to climb the mountain.
I gotta say, it was pretty unacceptable performance by me this year, to all my fans. Next year, I'll have my word. I'll train hard in the off season, and I'll predict the hell out of it.
You know, if Toby Reeder had just scored 12 to 15 more goals, you would have won.
God damn it, Reader.
Well, so before we jump into the playoffs, I guess the Oilers had their last game of the season, and man, did a lot of things happen. First off, it was the last battle of Alberta, and we won. So, yee-yee.
Lit.
However, I will say the victory came at a very bittersweet cost. So, Dalton, would you rather talk about the cost or the game?
The game was just fun, dude.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I guess the cost.
Okay, so Connor McDavid. First off, shout out to Leon Draisaitl, scores his 50th goal this season.
It'll be.
Unreal, unreal. It felt like in the first period he had like nine shots on net because he was just shooting from everywhere.
Yeah, that was definitely the game plan, was give Draisaitl the puck.
Yeah. McDavid absolutely turns Giordano into a pylon, and then Giordano dives. I saw some people saying it was a dirty play. I don't think it was a dirty play. McDavid goes hard into the post. He's holding his leg, not getting up. And the thing is like you can tell McDavid when McDavid's hurt because first off, if he wasn't, he'd be right back up. But the fact that he was on it and then like he mouthed to the trainer, I think it's broken. And like but like his face shows no feeling of pain at all. Like he's just like an absolute terminator.
Yeah, he just looks a little bit angry. He's like, man, this is so inconvenient.
Lots of speculation on Twitter. I was going wild. I was nervous. And then so Dalton, when you saw this play happen, what was the first thing you thought? Let's start there.
So I didn't even watch it live, which is probably the worst part. And then I started, like, it was on Reddit or something like that, and I saw a video of the injury, and then I was immediately terrified that he was, like, you know, gonna be broken forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And all the endless speculation that it was broken didn't really help either.
Yeah, yeah. And so then the thing is, I was watching it with my dad, and McDavid goes down, and then it comes out at the end of the, like, near the end of the night that it's not broken. And my dad's like, you know, that could actually mean that it's worse. It could be like an MCL or ACL tear, which is months. And I was like, oh God, I don't feel better.
Yeah. Luckily,
it has since come out that it is a minor thing. Won't require PCL. Surgery. Yeah, PCL. Go. I think, was a tear, a strain? I think it was a strain.
It's a minor tear, I think.
In the PCL. But which, won't require surgery. He'll be back within a couple, like, he'll be up to snuff again in, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah, apparently this kind of injury is almost exclusively seen in victims of car accidents.
Wow. Well, I mean, if you looked at, I think at the, they clocked it on the broadcast, he was going 43 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for all the American pals, that's like 35 miles?
I don't think.
A little bit lower than that, 28,
27. Oh, okay. See, Chris,
I had no clue. Yeah, thank God, because I got no clue.
Yeah. Someone's still clogged up on calculus.
Oh, I wrote my midterm yesterday, man.
How'd it go, pal?
It's over. You know, that's all right. That's all we can say about it. All
right, solid, solid. That's how I feel about my math for liberal arts class right now.
Yeah. All I'm saying is it's a good thing we didn't do the podcast yesterday, because I probably wouldn't have been able to talk.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, neither could have Chris.
There you go. Happy accident.
Yeah. So, yeah, game is over. McDavid back. Yeah, all is well in the world. So Oilers season is over. I don't know, Dalton, do you want to say any parting words to the season? Like a eulogy, maybe?
Here lies Peter Chiarelli's best attempt at building an NHL team that would win the Stanley Cup in 2010.
All right. You know, solid. That's how we'll leave it. And we will look forward to next year. So now, do we want to get in the playoffs or, like, the coaching changes? Because there's the stuff that happens outside of the playoffs. For all the bad teams, and then there's the playoffs. So what
including
do we want to
the
start
lottery.
With? Yes, yes. So, like, what do we want to start with?
Chris, I mean,
do you have any UV preferences, Chris?
No, not really.
Yeah, we should probably start with the outside of the playoffs and then inside, because inside's more exciting.
Okay. So, first thing I'm just going to go in order of what I wrote it down. The Panthers fire the head coach in Bob Bugner and then announce that they have hired Coach Q, John Quenneville.
Joel bank.
He is making bank. He's getting paid by the Blackhawks and the Panthers this year. And then next, the Panthers will be up for his full salary.
And he's so getting six per anyways, so.
Well, so that's why I say that. He's getting paid six, but because he's still under contract with the Blackhawks, the Panthers only have to pay him, I think, three.
Oh, interesting.
So this season, the Panthers and the Blackhawks will be paying him each three for his total of six. And then his contract terminates with the Blackhawks, and then the Panthers are on the line for the full salary. Huh. Yeah, because he's still under contract. So what do we think, guys? Panthers bring in, like, obviously proven, like, one of the best active NHL coaches, arguably – depending on how you feel about Mike Babcock, but arguably the second best coach active in the NHL right now.
I think it doesn't bode well for Quenneville that an inexperienced coach came in and then kind of took the team that he was coaching before and coached them significantly better, or at least into a better record. So I'm a little bit skeptical on Quenneville.
Okay. Chris, how do you feel about this?
Oh, I think there's like, I don't know. I mean, how long was Quenneville the coach of the Hawks? Like a long time, right?
Yeah.
Before this season, yeah.
So I don't know. I think I think there's a two-note factor, especially if you win a couple of cups. You got some veterans on that team. You know, it's probably hard to motivate those guys. So I wouldn't really read into that too much. I think it's a good record speaks for itself, the success level. So whether the team has enough, you know, talent to let him be successful again is going to be another story, though.
Well, they totally will once they sign both Peranninen and Burakovsky.
Yeah. And so I actually listened to on the 31 Thoughts podcast, they had Dale Talon on, and it sounds like Joel were really good friends, and that's kind of the reason why it worked out. And then he was talking about how he was very adamant when talking to Elliot Friedman that this summer Elliot Friedman asked, like, do we expect big splashes from the Panthers? And he was like, yes.
So they're all in, which honestly they should be.
Yeah.
They need to.
Yeah.
So do we think the coaching change and like maybe pushes them over the hump?
I don't think a coaching change alone would do it, but also kind of look at the Islanders, right? That's basically all it took was a coaching change to put them over the edge. So I'm really in wait and see mode for Florida, like wait and see what they do over the summer and then kind of come back to it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Another head coach was fired. The Buffalo Sabres fire their head coach and are currently in the mix for Todd McClellan. It sounds like McClellan is leaning towards LA.
Because, of course, he is.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, like, his family still lives in San Jose, so. It would just kind of make sense for him to be there. So what do we think? I mean, Buffalo, obviously they're not happy with their results with the kind of the shooting up in the rankings with the 10 straight and then the losing like every single game after that. So if they get McClellan, do you think do you think this pushes them over the hump, or do you think that, like, they have still too big of holes to really like a coaching change to do anything?
I think for Todd McClellan, it'll give us a good look to see whether it was the roster in Edmonton or it was the coach kind of thing.
Well, I think with bringing Hitchcock in, we kind of already decided that it's the roster and not the coach.
Kind of. Like, I like Hitchcock, but I don't think he's the best coach available. So it doesn't prove to me, like, if you had brought in somebody like John Cooper or Mike Babcock or somebody like that and they struggled, I would have had a little bit more inclination to believe that Todd McClellan was a perfect little darling that just kind of got screwed.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be helpful for either the teams that get him. And if he goes to the Kings, hopefully he actually plays Kovalchuk.
Yeah, that's very true, very true. Chris, how do you feel about this? Do you have any feelings on Buffalo's situation?
They got a good roster, so I guess we'll see what McClellan's made of now.
Yeah, very true, very true. And then the last outside of the playoffs is the draft lottery was held this week. And congratulations to Taylor Hall and the New Jersey Devils getting the first overall draft pick. So, boys, Dalton, I'm sure you have these numbers as well.
it's fucking crazy.
Chris, I don't know if you – Chris, so Taylor Hall has been on two teams. He's been in the NHL for almost 10 years now.
What is he, 26, 8 years?
Yeah.
8, 9 years, something like that.
He was drafted – wasn't he drafted in 2010?
Yes.
So that would put him at 10 years. Almost 10.
Yeah, I think this is his ninth season just finishing.
Yeah, so he'd be going into his 10th.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're good.
Okay, so Chris, I want you to guess on, in 10 years, how many times, this is counting Taylor Hall, so you already have one. How many times has Taylor Hall's team had the first overall draft pick in 10 years?
Shit. I'm going to say four.
Six times.
Oh, Wow.
And then if you're like, if you don't want to count the year Taylor Hall was drafted because he wasn't on the Oilers yet, he's been on the team. His team has had the first overall draft pick 5 out of a possible 9 times. And so before the draft lottery, Taylor Hall tweeted out and he was like, this is like going to the lottery table with $10, like winning a ton of, like hitting the jackpot and then throwing half winning on. Either way, you walk out of the casino with more than you showed up. So New Jersey shoots up a ton. How do we feel? New Jersey with the potential to either get Capocacco or Jack Hughes.
Honestly, I just want them to win the first overall pick like 2 more times so people will start getting all mad again and be like, hey, change the draft lottery back to reverse order of the standings.
Yeah, that is a good point because the Devils won the draft lottery 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So like Nico Hischier. So, Chris, how do you think this do for the Devils?
Well, I mean, they're going to get an excellent player. I mean, what do you want me to say about it? It's going to be great for them if they pick the right player. I think the draft lottery is kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It should just be reverse order. Who cares if they tank? Teams tank. Tank away.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't do anything other than hurt the fan base until you get your first overall pick, losing a bunch of games.
Yeah. Now it's just potentially like kind of look at Arizona, how many times in a row they got screwed by it, right?
Like, yeah, well, honestly, and I hate the Canucks, but the Canucks have been absolutely shafted the last couple of years.
Maybe this draft lottery thing's pretty good anyways.
Yeah, my mind.
All right, but like, who would you take first overall right now?
Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes.
I'd take Hughes.
The NHL, like, for some reason, the NHL does a very poor job of hiding who they think should take first. They should take first overall. They do like honestly, they do a horrible job. And so, okay, I actually have something to say about this. So hold on.
Rant like, time.
So they're like, oh, who's it gonna be, Capo or Hughes? But then the NHL releases a video on their official Instagram, like a video of Jack Hughes like doing a bunch of on ice training and skating and stuff, and they're like, look at Jack Hughes doing on all his cool stuff. I have not once seen like a video of Capocacco skating.
They also literally brought Jack Hughes to the draft too,
well,
or the draft lottery.
I was getting to that. Then they were like, "Who are they going to take first overall?" Also, live for the viewing of who wins the draft, Jack Hughes, just by himself. And then they were like, Jack, how would you feel if you were selected by the New Jersey Devils first overall? First off, what a dumb question.
Fuck, dude, I'd hate it. I hate New Jersey. Such a stupid city.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, what are they, like, exactly, what are they going to say? But that's it. That's all. They do a poor job. But the big winners from this year's draft was obviously New Jersey. They moved up 2 spots for the first overall pick for the second time in 3 years. The Rangers jump up 4 spots to the number 2. That's huge, especially for a team in the middle of a rebuild, getting most likely Kako. That'll be huge for them. Chicago jumps up 9 spots, guys. 9.
Yeah.
Because of course they do. Ottawa obviously loses their first pick, and Colorado, who is in the playoffs, gets the 4th overall pick.
Yeah, this kind of went ideally for Ottawa.
I guess so.
Who would you rather have, Brady Tkachuk or whoever you're getting at 4? Because like, I'm gonna pick Brady Tkachuk. I think every single time.
Didn't they take Brady at 3?
No, they took him at 4 last year, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, I mean, the way, and obviously with the way, like looking back at it, the way Brady Tkachuk did after they traded away all their pieces, like 20 goals in his rookie season, like that's and like he's physical, like he'll be a great player, and he's in the, like you can see that he can do that already, like he doesn't need conditioning, he's there, he's ready.
So basically Ottawa lucked into taking the right choice.
Yes I mean, I guess Ottawa needs some pity every now and then. Moving on to the only team that matters, Edmonton. They drop down 1 spot and get the 8th overall pick.
Garbage. Rigged.
at this point, like, it's fine. We're going to draft, I mean, the 8th overall pick, like, it's just like last year. We had the 10th overall pick. We got Bouchard. Bouchard looks unreal.
What, like, doesn't he have, like, 20 points right now in 10 playoff games or something stupid like that?
He's got over 20 points, and I think in, like, 8 games in the playoffs. Like, Bouchard, like, even if he doesn't make the team next year, it doesn't matter. He's still going to be great. Like, no matter who we draft, like, anyone who drafts in obviously the first 20 is going to be a player, no matter, like, for the most part, really. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's Mangus PRV or Nail Yakupov, but we don't talk about them.
Or all those other Oilers busts.
Yeah, those. Chris, though, the Jets, and I'm looking at this right here, the Jets will not have a first overall draft pick this season.
Well, they gave it up for that turd Hayes.
Yes, for Hayes. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Where is Hayes right now? Is he in New York or?
Well, I mean, apparently he's playing on your team.
Oh, I don't know. I just haven't seen him on the ice at all doing anything. So I just assumed he was, you know, booking his flights back to New York and, you know, going to shows and shit like that.
What are you talking about? He's coming to Edmonton in the offseason.
Good. You can have him. Hope you don't pay too much for him. He's been very disappointing so far in the playoffs. He looked promising in the first couple games with the Jets, and then he just, like, I don't know. He just looks so, like, slow and boring.
Well, that's a good transition. So we'll jump into the playoffs. Chris, we'll start with the Blues, the St. Louis Blues and the Winnipeg Jets series. First two games at home, and it is 2-1 goal losses for the Jets. They are down 2-0 in the series, going home to St. Louis. First game, 2-1 loss. Second game, 4-3 loss. I watched the whole second game, so I have some opinions, but I want to hear what you have to say first.
So, I mean, it's just more of the same issues. I mean, there are two different things that caused the losses. For game one, the Jets just, like, I don't know. They just went into a shell, and they had a lead going into the third period, and they blew it. Like, they've done so much this year. They just stopped playing their game, stand around, they make bad passes, they run around in their own zone, and then they get scored on. So that's what happened in game one. And then game two, I thought the Jets played much better, but Hellebuck was awful. The second goal really changed the tide. The Jets were putting major pressure on the Blues in the second period, and then Hellebuck let in a bad goal, and it was all Blues after that, pretty much. And then the fourth goal was just atrocious.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, like I said, I watched the whole thing, and here's what I will say: between the two games I've seen, it's almost like the Jets are like it's a flip of a coin every 10 minutes on what team they're gonna be. You know, like Like it seems like it seriously seems like every 10 minutes it's like they flip a coin and heads they come out and they just dominate the Blues. They skate around them. They forecheck hard. They're forcing Binnington to make saves. They're setting up all their snipers for really high end scoring chances. Line A is scoring the power play. Then they're drawing penalties. Scoring at will. And then 10 minutes go by and then the Blues are just almost do the exact same thing that they're doing. And then I think the difference is Hellebuck will make an unreal save 1 minute. Like he had like a paddle save the other day that he like reached back and pulled it out of the net. And then he'll let in, like you said, like the fourth goal. That's just like a backbreaker. So it is kind of weird to watch them like completely just shift in the way they're playing like mid period.
It's not mentally strong. And I don't know what it is. People want to blame Maurice, but nothing has changed. You know, like the systems haven't changed. The style of coaching hasn't changed. Most of the players haven't changed. Can't tell me that Toby Enstrom and Paul Stastny are the difference between last year's Jets and this year's Jets. It's ridiculous.
Well, and I wouldn't even say the defense has been playing bad from what I've seen. Like it seems like the defense has been playing. It's just like Hellebuck isn't making easy saves. And I actually want to talk about him more because a lot of the goals I've been seeing, like Hellebuck is beat and he's still on his skates. Like he's still standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like he missed. Yeah, like yeah. Is that positioning? Because like the fourth goal, for instance, he's well out. He sees that he's like positioning is that he sees the shooter, and then it just like goes like mid blocker side. It just doesn't make sense.
So somebody told a story on the forum that I talk I chat on all the time, and it was an interesting story because he had one of his son's best friends. They played hockey together, and he was a goalie. And the same thing was happening to him, like very athletic, great goalie, great positioning, but shots coming from like a little bit farther out, he would do things like he would just miss it. Turned out that he needed glasses. I know it seems ridiculous, but unless you tell somebody you need glasses, how do you know you need glasses?
Fair enough, dude. Like I went probably 2 years in middle school. And actually, in my first year of high school, before I finally clicked, I'm like, hey.
Oh, I remember this, Dalton. I remember this. You were – I remember this. You were having a lot of issues with vision, weren't you?
Yeah. I was like, hey, I should probably be able to see, like, the people walking towards me. Yeah. And then, yeah, sure enough, I went to the eye doctor. Yeah, need glasses.
So do you think this might be the case for Hellebuck, that he needs glasses?
Dude, I'm on board.
I don't know, like – it's weird because it's also could be, I don't know, it could be an outlier. I don't know what Hellebuck did in the offseason last year or like this past year, because the season before it, he very famously went and saw a different goaltending coach. All summer long, he was just training with this new goaltender coach, and it completely transformed his game. And then he had the Vezina finalist season last year. So I would be interested to know whether he didn't do that last offseason and whether this is Wade Flaherty, because Wade Flaherty has wrecked every goaltender that's come through. The Jets have never had good goaltending. So
who do you think we see start in the tonight's game?
Oh, it's Hellebuck, no doubt. You have to start Hellebuck.
Okay. I was wondering what you think they would do.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he doesn't play well in this game, I think, what the hell, you're down 3-0, just play Brossois. Actually, I don't even know. Yeah, he must be healthy by now. But you got to give Hellebuck a chance to get back, because he was actually very good in game one.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't even know who to send that message to. Can you check Hellebuck for glasses? Like, have they given him an eye exam recently? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
that seems like something NHL teams would do, right? Like
you would think, right? Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know, bro. All I know, you know, like, I'll be honest with you. Mike asked me yesterday if I want to do the podcast. No, and it's just, I was just so, like, this season has been so, like, emotionally draining. And like, I know I'm speaking to the wrong people, like Oilers fans. You guys, what I've gone through, you've gone through 10 times as bad and for 10 times as long. But, you know, like, Jets fans understand the Oilers fans' pain, because in our, like, I want to say the Jets have been a thing for, in total, maybe 20 years, a little bit over 20 years, 1.0 and 2.0. And only like twice have we had a team that was so like considered like a favorite. And it was like one time when we had 105 points back in the day in the Smythe division. And of course, we had to face Wayne Gretzky and the Oilers. And then Jamie McCown cross-checked and broke the ribs of Dale Hawerchuk, which put an end to that. But like, this is the only like team that we've ever had that has been a favorite. So go this year and just play like shit has been very exhausting. Well,
so not to compare at all, but like, I think it's the same sort of feeling that at least as an Oilers fan, we felt the year after we made it to game 7 against the Ducks, right? You go into that season with such expectations, yeah. Right? And I think that's that, like, roller coaster. Yeah, exactly. And seeing that roller coaster. And obviously, the Jets have had, like, this monumental collapse like the Oilers did that following year. But, like, just seeing, like, and, like, knowing how good they should be is like, yeah. such a strain. I understand.
Good. Yeah, because it seems almost kind of like, you know, they were battling for first in the Central till the last minute, so it seems kind of silly to say that it's been such a terrible, disappointing season, but really it has been. Like, I think they lucked their way to a lot of wins. I think that, you know, early part of the year, they were feasting on their power play. Like, Laine scored all of his goals in the first half of the year on the power play. So I think they won a bunch of games they probably shouldn't have because of their power play, which made people, like just a casual fan, think that everything was hunky-dory. But everything was not hunky-dory.
I think they kind of coasted by on talent, you know? Like there's a lot of teams that, like Detroit lost a lot of games just because they didn't have any talent. Right. So whereas like the Jets went the other way is they won a lot of games just purely talent based.
So I honestly really feel like first of all, I have nothing against Paul Maurice. I think he's a fine coach, but I do think that the Jets need to make a coaching change. I know they won't because I know how loyal the Jets organization is. They'll let him fail a bit into next season before they decide to, you know, make a coaching change, but his player utilization is pretty messed up. And you get the sense, like, if he can't turn this talented team around and get them playing that, you need somebody who can figure it out, right?
Yeah. And so I actually had another question then for you, because watching the games, I'm obviously focused on the Jets because of this. The way he does lines, like the way he sends lines out, like you said, the deployment, it's just it kind of looks weird because like the Blues are rolling like a very like their top three lines, they're kind of rolling, and then every now and then they'll throw their fourth line out, but they're rolling like and obviously on the O'Reilly Tarasenko Shen line quite a bit, but they're pretty rolling, cycling their top three, where the like to do it seems like they'll throw out their top line with Scheifele and Wheeler out. And then they'll counter again with their fourth line with like Roslovic, and then they'll throw out Laine, and it looks like he's kind of just throwing it out, like almost like he's just like, I don't even, he's just calling out lines.
I think here's what I think it is. Like, first of all, I don't think that like a lot of the Jets lines are really working right now. And especially that second line has been like a tragedy all year long.
Is that the Hayes line?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will agree with you. I haven't seen that line at all in the couple of games I'm watching.
Yeah. So here's the problem is like Maurice loathes to change his lines in game, which is a major criticism of his, because you're basically wasting players like Nick Ehlers, because Hayes looked like a stinky pile of crap. So because Hayes isn't playing well, instead of sliding Ehlers onto another line, he just doesn't play Ehlers either, which is it's a crime, because Ehlers is one of the few players for the one who Jets. Who can get zone entry.
Yeah, I have noticed Ehlers. I mean, I've known this. Ehlers is fast, and he's incredibly talented. He's got great hands. He's a one-man zone entry.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the biggest problem. And I agree. And then he ends up overplaying the first line, and they get really tired, and, you know, they're less effective as the game goes on. So, yeah, I think those are the criticisms for Maurice.
So then my last question is, how are you liking Carl Lindholm?
Actually, I think, you know, he's been good. He has zero offense. He tries, but he's got no offensive abilities at all. But he also doesn't hurt you. Like, I think he's a good fourth liner.
And so he's actually one of the players that I've noticed quite a bit. I'm like, who is that? And then they're like, Lindholm. And I was like, oh, right. I know who that is. So obviously, I just kind of like to come with ideas. How would you feel about this? You throw a line of Tanev, Lindholm, Ehlers.
Fast,
very fast. Lindholm is obviously the center. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I would put Ehlers back with Scheifele and Wheeler,
and then put Connor with Laine.
Yeah, because I think they did okay together. Yeah. I think I would go that way first. I just feel like, you know, Ehlers, like, Lindholm has zero offensive ability, so that's not going to help Ehlers at all.
Yeah.
Tanev is really good at, like, you know, getting in there, forechecking, disrupting and stuff like that. But again, like, you know, even though he scored pretty good this year, I don't think he's really an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. I think you need to put Ehlers with skill players. I think, and so putting him on the top line is something I would probably end up doing.
Well, game three is tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
So you aren't?
Be there.
I will be. I'm not sure if I'll be able to watch all of this one, but I'll definitely watch as all I can.
Watch none of it because you're bad luck.
So then also around the league, as of a couple hours ago, the New York Islanders take a 3-0 series lead over the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Talk about ruining my bracket. Seriously, dude.
If there's one team that's got the magic on right now, it is firmly on the Islanders, in my opinion.
All they have to do is get rid of Jonathan Tavares. Easy.
We knew he was the problem all along.
Capital series lead over the before we leave the Islanders, shout out to Jordan Eberle. Holy crap.
Who would have guessed that guy was clutch? And you wonder why I wanted to hold on to him.
Oh my goodness, dude. And the thing is, they're going to win the cup, and then he's going to take a discount to re-sign the Islanders. It's going to be the worst.
Nah, fam. He's going to go to the free agent pool. He's going to get Tavares money.
But, oh, man. Honestly, though, I love Jordan Eberle as just a player. So it's awesome to see, like, his goal today. When he walked around, like, he's just – you can tell he's feeling it. He's having fun. Like, he's playing his game, and the whole Islanders team is. Leonard is playing unreal. They're shutting the Penguins down. It's impressive.
Yeah. Barzell and Eberle are such a good match together.
Well, that whole line, the Barzell, Eberle, Beauvillier.
Beauvillier.
Who also – that whole line is an Oilers-made line.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that make you depressed? That whole line.
Well,
because of the Oilers.
Mostly the Barzell. And also
Beauvillier.
Well, that one doesn't depress me as much.
That's a whole line, though, dude. That's a whole second line. A really good second line.
Be depressed. It's okay.
I refuse.
the Capitals the Capitals have a 2-0 series lead over the Hurricanes. I will say, though, the Hurricanes have been putting up a good fight, and those have been pretty fun games to watch.
Williams is taking it pretty personally, though, eh?
Yeah, he's been a little fiery. The Preds Stars series has been kind of meh. It's tied 1-1. That's kind of surprising, but we'll see where it goes. The Star Sharks are high scoring, which is real funny because I thought Fleury was going to turn it on, but it's definitely the who's going to score more goals sort of thing, but I guess that's as you scoring less goals.
Or like any sport, you know.
Flames and Avalanche are tied 1-1.
That's been awesome. Fun to watch.
I actually got to watch the because conference game, it was on late, so I was at work, and I got to watch the third period and the overtime of that game last night, and so glad the Flames lost. Heck yeah. Bruins and Maple Leafs tied 1-1.
God, and this has been fun.
Man, do they hate each other.
And God, has the reffing been terrible.
You're on both sides. It's not either team. Like, the refs are just being bad. So, you guys, Chris, you made mention to it way earlier back in the podcast. Kadri hit. He's getting suspended, isn't he?
What do you think, 5?
So here's the thing. If he gets suspended, I mean, this is the second playoffs in a row because he got suspended for 3 or 2 last season.
Three.
Last playoffs.
Three.
I bet he gets four.
You think he's going to get four this year? I think he's getting five.
I mean, that's it. That's the whole – he's out for the whole series.
Yeah. Man, I hope the Leafs lose.
See, I hate Boston more than the Leafs. I want the Leafs to win.
I literally don't know how that's possible.
I don't know. I think it's just a States thing because Boston fans are the worst.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I kind of like Boston.
Yeah, but Boston, they have the Patriots and the Red Sox and Bruins and ugh.
I also like the Patriots.
All right. Get out of here, pal.
But, yo, I love Jake DeBrusk. He's, like, my favorite player.
Yeah. Did you see, like, the Marner penalty shot, though? Oh, the hands on that kid.
Man, he's going to make so much money.
So, and then the last series, and actually probably the most surprising, Columbus, 2-0 series lead over the Lightning.
It's kind of hilarious.
Granted, they did this last season. They had a 2-0 series lead over the Capitals. The Capitals obviously went on to win the Cup. However, I think the fashion in which they've been winning these games, first off, game one, down 3-0 to win it 4-3 in regulation. Unreal. And then to see them dominate them like they did in game two, a 5-1 win.
The
meltdown that my Lightning friends are having right now is just amazing.
I bet, dude. Well, because, like, in the Kucherov, in this game, it's probably not going to get any better. They don't have Kucherov. Hedman's looking, it's possible for tonight, maybe not, though. So
Yeah.
They could be missing their top forward and top defenseman down 2-0.
Yeah, okay, so we'll talk about Kucherov. What did you think about the hit? It, obviously dirty. He trips the guy and then runs his head into the boards.
He's a dirty boy.
Chris, what, have you seen it?
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think?
I think it was incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? You're one of the best players in the NHL. Like, why are you getting involved in that shit?
It's such a Malkin move.
Oh, yeah. It's so stupid.
I
hate chicken shit hockey players, and that's a chicken shit play. When you attack somebody when they can't see you or when they're vulnerable, you're a fucking chicken shit.
That's
all I can really say about that. Like, if you're gonna face somebody and punch them in the face, that's different, you know. But don't. Oh my god, makes me so mad. Anyway,
playoff.
So now I was surprised he only got one game.
See,
I thought it was gonna be a two.
Honestly, I'm kind of fine with the one game.
Me too.
So here's my question to you guys. Do you think it's a one game purely because it's the playoffs? So if he did the same hit in the regular season, do you think it's a two?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
Well, the thing is, these kind of hits, they're so much rarer in the regular season, right? And the NHL values the playoff games more. So I think it'll probably be a two game if it was a regular season. Maybe it'll still be a one, though. It's kind of on the borderline, I think.
All right. See, I thought it should have been two, but I understand that it's a playoff, so it's just the one. So now that we've kind of seen how the playoffs are tipping, I'm going to go and ask you guys who wins the series and in how many games now that there's less games to play. So you guys ready?
Let's go.
What are we doing now?
We're guessing all the playoff series.
Yes.
But didn't we already do this?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
But well, not today. Sort of. Yeah. Well, yes, but no. So
I'm so confused.
Islanders, Penguins. Islanders up 3-0. Do the Penguins hill? Do the Islanders sweep them? Dalton, what do you think?
Penguins in seven.
Purely because
of my bracket.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
But also a little bit Crosby.
Fuck Crosby. I was gonna say fuck Cosby, but I mean he just roofie you and fuck you instead. So I think the Pens will win a game, but that's it.
No, full chaos. Sweep.
Sweep. All right, so we have the middle response in Chris, the full-on response for Michael, and then the other way full-on response for me.
Wonderful.
We got it all covered no matter what happens.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. 1-1 series tie, Golden Knights Sharks. Chris.
Oh, my God. These are so hard because my, like, bias and my hatred of teams comes through.
So what are you thinking?
What are you thinking?
Chris,
Dalton, do you have your idea?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What do you think? 9-6.
Absolutely.
Am I back?
Yeah,
you're back. Welcome now. Back.
Oh, motherfucker. So, wow, I'm just swearing like a sailor today. I think it's going to be a long series. My bias really comes through because I hate the Golden Knights so much. I think it's such a joke to the NHL that they even exist. But I will say the Sharks are going to win it in seven.
Ooh. Sharks in seven. I think I'm hopping on the Golden Knights bandwagon with you, Dalton. I'm saying Golden Knights in six.
Well, yeah, they got Gusev now. Or Gusev.
Nikita Gusev.
Yeah, the goose is loose.
I actually don't think that should be allowed, but whatever.
What, you don't think a guy should be able to come from one major sports league to another one just because his team got eliminated?
In the middle of the playoffs?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, then the teams can also do that with college players, too.
Yeah. It, like, and you see it happen every single year as well. Like,
yeah. McAvoy a couple years ago, the Avalanche just brought in Cale Makar.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand. I think it should be your roster at the start of it is set. Like, anybody that you have contracted can be called up to the NHL. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Anyway.
Otherwise, I'm about to go sign Wayne Gretzky out of retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 2-0 Capitals over Hurricanes. Dalton.
Caps in four.
Ooh, sweet. Chris.
I don't know. I think they're going back.
I'm going to guess that Chris is going to say Capitals in five.
Shut up. I think the vibe is going to be a lot different now that they're going to be in Carolina. So I think that's going to inspire the Hurricanes. I think they'll probably split it. I'm going to say the Caps in five.
Nothing.
So do you think? So
how
do
would you
think,
just set up? Say?
Yeah.
You're such an asshole.
So Chris, do you think winning one game at home for the Hurricanes, we see a playoff storm surge?
Oh, they're gonna definitely do something, and it might be stupid.
Do you think? What are the chances we hear about Cherry being so mad about it?
I think Don will probably keep his mouth shut about it because he really got fucking raked over the coals last time.
Yeah, he did. I think I'm with you, Chris. I'm saying Caps in five. All right, then Pansies. We got Fred Stars tied 1-1. Chris, what do you think?
Both of these teams have kind of like had less than stellar seasons. Dallas made the playoffs, and the Preds basically like stumbled into first place. I think it might be a long series. I'm going to say the Stars in seven because I hate the Preds.
Ooh. All right. I'm actually agreeing with you. That's what I was going to say. Before you said it, I was thinking in my head, Stars in seven. Don't think anything, pal.
Well, I'm going to take all the bias out of here that you guys are throwing on here, this anti-Nashville hatred. And it's going to be Nashville in six.
Nashville in six. All right.
But I do love Ben Bishop, and I kind of want the Stars to win.
Why are you so wishy-washy all the time?
Dude, I just love so many players, and I hate so many teams.
That's me, too. Actually, I don't really love players that aren't on my team usually, so.
Yeah, because then you only see them, like, once in a while, and then when they're doing something sick, so you never get mad at them.
They become the enemy.
So, Avs and Flames, 1-1, Dalton.
Dude, like, I'm surprised the Avs even got a game. I think it's going to be Calgary in 5.
Oh, man. And, Chris, what do you think?
You got to go first this time, and then I'll go.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm saying Avs in 6.
Whoa!
I hate the Flames.
I like it.
Yeah, I really like the kind of your jib, Mike. But I think you're wrong. Wish you were wrong. My heart is telling me, like, I don't want the Flames to win another game ever. And I want a giant pterodactyl to shit all over. I don't know. That's just a fantasy I have. But I think that realistically, it's probably going to be the Flames in 6.
Flames in 6.
Though it was.
Insane.
Though it was pretty awesome to see Giordano get beat for that OT goal.
Yeah.
Oh,
first off,
I love seeing bad players get
passed. That was an unreal pass from Rantanen.
Yeah, that was sick, dude.
All right, so then the last series that we don't have any personal feelings about, of course. we haven't done Maple Leafs Bruins in 1-1. I'll start. Maple Leafs in 7.
Oh, you little bitch.
See, that's proving why Mike is not Canadian.
Yeah, if you were a true Canadian, you would never pick the Leafs to win anything, ever.
All right.
I think his mother has to relinquish her Canadian citizenship now, I think.
My mom doesn't even have Canadian citizenship, dog.
Or your dad. I can never remember which one's Canadian. Oh, it's your dad. Your dad's your best friend.
Yeah.
So your dad's got to Canadian citizenship. I'm sorry. I'm going to get your picture posted at every border so you can't go into Canada.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of rough. I mean, how am I supposed to beat Dalton and Shinny?
I mean, you know, it's crazy, this thing called, like, I can get on a plane and come down there.
All right, you know what? If I can't come to Canada, you can't come to the States.
What?
No, I'll let you come.
Chris, what did you say, man? You cut out so bad.
Oh, I said you can come.
Thanks, Chris.
I usurped Mike because he's only like half American.
That is true. That is true. He's a fake American.
So you're just taking half of me?
Yeah, half your citizenship. You're only half a citizen.
It's like you're a slave, but you don't even get 3/5.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
Wow. Okay, I can't be associated with this podcast anymore. Please swear my voice out of all.
Any opinions on the podcast are purely satirical and should not be taken as fact.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, please, yes. Can we say that?
See, now we're good.
I think I'd be in the worst. Yeah, awesome.
Okay, so I gave my prediction. I obviously am going to be the only one with this prediction. So, Dalton, what do you think?
I think it's going to be Bruins in 6.
All right, Chris.
So I'm going to agree with Dalton because, and not just because I hate the Leafs, but also I just think you look at the Bruins team and you look at the Leafs, and I just think the Bruins are more suited to play playoff hockey. I think they have more experience, and I think that's going to lead them to victory.
I think they're more better.
So
they're more best.
They got games then. Bruins in what?
I said 6.
Oh, all right.
Clean the maple syrup out of you.
Yeah, sorry, pal.
It's okay. He only has half of it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. The rest of it is like Kentucky bourbon.
Columbus up 2-0. Chris, kick us off. What do you think?
I think the Lightning are going to come back. I think it'll go to 7.
Lightning in 7 for Chris. Dalton.
I think it's...
Wait. Sorry, I have to put a proviso on this. We don't know what the We don't know what the Kucherov suspension is going to be yet.
No, it's just the one game.
Oh, it's one game. Yeah, never mind. Sorry, take it back.
So still Lightning in seven.
It's good.
Yes. All right, Dalton.
You know, I think it's going to be Lightning in six.
Wow, they're going to come back and they're going to do it, huh?
I think if they take one game off Columbus, Columbus is just going to collapse.
Tortorella go all like ape shit, and then that'll be
so funny, dude. So I want to see Tampa melt down into a ball of fire, purely out of spite.
So
and I say Columbus in six.
Oh, come on! At least say Columbus in four.
No, they're not gonna sweep them.
You pansy.
Actually, I kind of want to see that too, just for Schadenfreude, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
And then last series.
Look up Schadenfreude later.
Last series, we will. We'll Chris, we'll have you end it. Dalton, 2-0 Blues lead over the Jets. What do you think?
Honestly, Jets in seven, man.
All right, Jets in seven. You know what, Chris? I'm all in. Bandwagon is engaged. Jets in six.
Jets in six. Four straight wins.
Chris,
you're not allowed to say Blues in four.
I wouldn't. I don't think it's Blues in four. I don't think the Jets would fold like that, especially considering they've been close. And you think about it, like the Blues are the hottest team in the NHL for half a season.
For sure.
I got to say Jets in seven.
Jets in seven. All right. You know what? I'm glad we all agree on that last one. Really brings home the camaraderie at the last little thing.
I hate you all. Sorry, I had to, man.
Of course. I mean, you got anything else for me? No, awesome.
What could we possibly
have? I don't know.
I prepare so well. I really cover everything.
Yeah, you know, like.
So you guys noticed something?
What's that?
I didn't drop once that time. This is the first time I didn't drop one time. I'm like, what I hope the Jets will do.
Yeah.
I was so expecting you just to drop as soon as you started saying that.
That would have been funny. And then, you know what? There were a few Chris rants in there. I was expecting halfway through at least one of them.
Yeah.
Yes. I think I figured it out.
Well done. Boys. So hopefully the Jets do as well.
Yeah, you know what? Here's hoping. To the Jets. Let's go Jets. True North and all that stuff.
I don't have any whiskey around, but I'll drink some later for them.
All right. Well, I'd like to drop a little teaser. I'm in the middle of writing a letter to Oilers management that we posted on the blog. One of the Oilers Nation guys wrote a really good article about culture and the Oilers, and it's really good. You should go check it out on Oilers Nation. It's by my pal, Wanye, at Wanye Gretz, on Twitter. Really good. And I actually DM'd him, and me and him had a little back and forth. I was like, hey, great article. He was like, thanks, man. I was like, I was thinking about writing something myself, but you beat me to it, and you probably wrote it better than I would have.
Those professional writer jerks.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but he's got a stupid fucking name, so you beat him there.
And so he was like, thanks, man, but you should totally write another article. Send me a link when you're done with it. He's like, we need to make as much of a thing as we can. You know, that sort of whole thing, fight the power, you know, back and forth. So I will be writing a letter to Oilers management, just kind of, you know, sending out, like, the grievances of Oilers fans and that sort of stuff. And that's my teaser.
All right, Michael, some advice for your article.
Yes.
Make sure you don't refer to McDavid as McDaddy anywhere in there, because then they'll just throw it out. It happened to me a couple times.
I understand. I'll keep it.
I got one more thing I need to say. Right. I need you, Mike, to do me a favor. I need you to ask your girlfriend how being a Wild fan worked out for her.
Okay.
She already hates me, so there's no chance for me to lose.
Yeah, there's only upside to this.
All right, I will for sure. I'll record her her response.
We need to get her in the podcast.
She wants to get on. She's been asking.
get her in there as a guest. That'd be great.
You know what? She can just do it all on her own for like the Stanley Cup Finals one.
The summer months are long, and there's some dead space in between there. We probably won't record like once a week during the summer, but you know, if there's we want like some a little bit of filler, I'm sure she can give us an insight into the upcoming 2019 season.
Well, she can tell us how bad the Wild are going to be next year.
And I'll say, actually, last thing on her, she has been cheering for the Canes in the playoffs. Those are her team and the Lightning. So it's been a sad offseason so far.
Tell her to stop cheering for teams I like.
Yeah. Okay. Well, boys, that does it for episode 25. You can follow us on SoundCloud, South Blue Line Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, any podcast. We're there, South of Blue Line Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South. It's basically me just tweeting out my things and retweeting hockey stuff. So yeah, boys, that is it. See you guys next week.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Go Jets.